And turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 32 this morning. Psalm 32, great is thy faithfulness. You'll find that in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And his compassions, they're new every morning.
Amen.
They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, it says there in Lamentations, chapter 3. I think it's verse number 22. I want you to notice what it says in Psalm 32 and verse number 1 and 2. Great passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul actually quoted this passage in Romans chapter number 4. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Now I want you to notice it says, blessed is. You ought to circle or underline that little word. Very important word. It doesn't say blessed was, and it doesn't say blessed shall be, or blessed might be, but the Bible says blessed is. He whose transgressions is forgiven. It says in verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. You know, I'm glad today that we can have forgiveness. And I'm glad today that all of my iniquity and all of my sin, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, he can cast them as far as the east is from the west and he'll remember them no more. Now, if you've been a recipient of that mercy and grace has been bestowed upon your life, I'm sure that you can say amen to all those things, because you know what? One day when we stand before God, we're going to stand there forgiven. And that's a wonderful thing when we stop and think about it. Now, I want you to consider this morning. Let's skip on down to verse number 8 through verse 11. Now, it's a blessing to be saved. It's a blessing to be forgiven. And I want you to notice some of the things that God blesses those who are forgiven, those who are saved, those who are born again. In verse number 8, it says, "I will instruct thee and will teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Verse number 10 says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord." Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you trusted in the Lord? Amen. Has there been a point in time in your life when you realized that you were lost and helpless and hopeless, and you turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, I need your salvation and I need your forgiveness"? The Bible says in verse number 10, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice ye righteous, and shout for joy all ye that are upright in heart." In verse number 8 through verse number 11, we find here the psalmist is describing those individuals who are blessed by God. Can I ask you a question? Do you want God's blessings on your life? Amen? Amen? Is there anybody here that would like to be cursed by God? I don't think anybody would like to be cursed by God, but certainly we all would like to be blessed by God. And, you know, as we look down through here, we can see that God has requirements for blessings. Now, several years ago, there was a team in New York, in the state of New York, sociologists that attempted to calculate the influence of a father's life upon the family and future generations. The study included two men from the 18th century, one by the name of Jonathan Edwards and the other by the name of Max Jukes. Max Jukes rejected Christianity, and he chose a wife who believed the exact same thing. His life was a life filled with undisciplined, unprincipled behavior. It was filled with crime. They traced Max Jukes' descendants, 1,200 of them. And of the 1,200 descendants, this is what they found. 440 individuals lived in outright debauchery. 310 were paupers and vagrants. 190 were prostitutes. 130 were convicted criminals. 100 of his descendants were alcoholics. 60 habitual thieves. 55 were victims of impurity. And 7 were murderers. And the sociologists believe that what happened, this was all because of the influence of one man. And then the researchers, as they concluded the life of Max Juice, they said that studying out his family descendants, there wasn't one that they found actually contributed to society. As a matter of fact, this notorious family, the Jukes family, they said cost the state of New York back in the 1800s and tracing the descendants, $1.2 million. With inflation and figuring it up over the years, it's actually about $50 million today that one man's influence cost society. You say, wow, preacher, I certainly would not want that to be the epitaph on my life. Well, certainly not, and I wouldn't want that either. Now, on the other hand, there was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. He is regarded as one of the most brilliant and influential men in American history. He was a gifted pastor, an exceptional theologian. Edwards' preaching ignited the flame that led to the Great Awakening here in America. Later in his life, he served as the president of Princeton College. Among his descendants were this: 300 clergymen, missionaries, or theological professors, 120 college professors, 60 doctors, 60 authors, 30 judges, 14 college presidents, numerous giants in the American industry, 3 U.S. congressmen, and 1 vice president of the United States. What a difference in legacy these two men had. The Bible states in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, and verses number 1 through verses number 13, it talks about the blessing chapters. He says, if you'll do this, if you'll obey me, if you'll follow me, if you'll keep my commandments, I will bless you. And I'll make sure that your life is filled with abundance and your basket will never end up. Try a different one, all right? And he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to go ahead and make sure that your basket never runs empty. Is that better?
I hope so.
All right. Bear with me for just a minute. You got to love technology, right? Deuteronomy chapter 28 is that blessing chapter. And I'd encourage you to take some time and read Deuteronomy chapter 28. God does want to bless His children. God does want to bless you. But just because you're an American, or just because your mom and your dad are Christians, or maybe your uncle was a preacher, or whatever it might be, that does not mean that the blessings of God are going to automatically fall upon you. There are conditions for blessings. And Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about those conditions for the nation of Israel. If I'm going to have the blessings of God in my life, here are some things that I must put in place. And then in Deuteronomy chapter number 27, it talks about in verse number 15 through verse number 26, and also Deuteronomy 28 verse number 15, it talks about the cursings. So we have Deuteronomy 27, the cursing chapters of the Bible. If you don't do this, or if you get involved in these things that I commanded you not to do, then I'm going to place my curse upon you. This is what God had to say. Now listen, I didn't write the book. Amen? I'm just called to preach it. And so don't get mad at me. Go to the author. Amen. He's the one that wrote the book. And God wants to bless His people. He wants to bless His creation. He does not want to curse His people, nor curse His generation, or curse creation. But we need to understand, if we live contrary to what God has to say, the blessings of God are not going to fall upon us. It says in Psalm 7, in verse number 11, listen to this: God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day.
The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. I guess we need to figure out what is right and what is wrong. We need to figure out what is righteous and what is wicked. The only way that you can figure that out is by getting into the book. If you want to know how a car operates, you better go ahead and read the owner's manual. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If we want to know how the Christian life is to operate, we better read the owner's manual right here. And it will tell us how we should live. It'll tell us what sin is. It'll tell us what righteousness is. It'll tell us how God blesses and how that God does not bless. It says in the book of Psalm 11, verse number 5 and 6, it says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and in a horrible tempest this shall be the portion of their cup." This morning, I hope and pray that Psalm 11, verse 5 and 6 is not for you. And I hope and pray that Psalm 7 and verse number 11 is not for you. God is angry with the wicked every day. Those are not the individuals that God will bless. In Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And once again we find, as it says in Psalm 32, Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man." I want to be that man today. I want to be that man that is blessed by God. And I want each and every one of you, whether man or woman, boy or girl, I want you to have the blessings of God on your life. Now, look at Psalm 32. And by the way, as it says here, blessed is. Let's consider something. As I started with this morning, the psalm states with "blessed is the man," Psalm 1 verse 1. Psalm 32, verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." It does not say, "blessed was." If it said, "blessed was," then it would show failure. Because we're not in the state of being blessed right now. Blessed was. You know, too many Christians talk about how that God had blessed them in the past. Well, you know, I remember when God used to do this. And I remember when God used to be so real to me. I remember when I would pray and God seemed so close to me. I remember when I'd open up the Scripture and I'd read the Scripture, it would come alive to me. And they talk about how that God was something great in their life in the past. But I'm telling you, we should not be looking at what we were. We should be looking at what God is doing right now in our life. Amen. Blessed is the man. And so it doesn't say blessed was showing failure. It doesn't say blessed can be showing personal ability. The blessings of God are based upon God and His mercy and His grace. Not because I have some special talent or because I have so much money in the bank. You see, it doesn't say blessed can be showing ability. It doesn't say blessed may be showing possibility. But it says blessed is showing the state of being. And this morning, you need to understand today that you can have that state of being blessed right now. Right now, I can have that state of being blessed by God. Let me ask you this question. Are you at the state in which God's blessings will fall on you today? Are you in the state of being in which God's blessings will fall upon you today? And the question also needs to be asked, what is that state? Where does it begin? How do I acquire that state? Well, before I get to that, let me show you what God promises in Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, in verse number 8, I want you to notice four things. Number one, this is the result of God being, God blessing. Y'all want blessed? Say amen. Amen. We all want blessed. Amen. We want God's blessings on our life. And it says in verse number 8, this is the result of God's blessings. I want you to say those first three, or excuse me, the first four words in verse number 8. I will instruct thee. I will instruct thee. What is the, you see what the Bible is saying here, as I am blessed by God, the state of being the state of being blessed by God comes as a result of putting certain things into our life. But what are those blessings? Before we get looking at how I can have that, let's look at some of these blessings. Number one, I'll be instructed by God. It is the greatest instruction ever given. It's better than anything that we've ever had. It's better than the greatest college professor, the greatest theologian, humanly speaking. It's better than anything that we'd ever receive. I remember a number of years ago, my second car that I bought, it was a 1964 Dodge Polara with a 318 push-button automatic on the dashboard. You remember those, Greg? Great, great old car. But when I bought it, after I bought it, of course, I paid a whole $125 for it. That was big money back then. And I took it home, and shortly afterwards, it wouldn't start. And I put another battery in it, and I drove it for a while, and then it wouldn't start. And I'm thinking, what in the world is wrong with this? So I kept charging the battery up. And I look at my little amp meter, and it was kind of going like this, usually on the discharge side. And I'm thinking, what in the world? So I took it over to one of my friends, and his dad liked tinkering on cars. So I told him, I said, you know, I don't know what's wrong with this. The battery keeps going dead on it. I was 16 years old. I didn't know anything about cars. I knew that if you pushed the little lever up, that was park, and if you brought it back down and you pushed D, it was drive. R was for reverse. That's all I knew. So he said, you know what? He says, I think what we need to do, he says, let's pop the hood and I'll look at it. And so my friend's dad, we popped the hood. He set his beer on the air filter and started looking at it. He says, I think I see the problem. I says, really? He says, oh yeah. He pulled out his pocket knife and started cutting wires. And then he started twisting wires together. He says, I think that'll help you. He ruined my wiring harness. Later I found out the only problem that I really had was I had a bad alternator. That was it. If I would have changed the alternator, I wouldn't have had to replace the wiring harness and the alternator and several batteries in the process. You know what I learned from all that? You better make sure you get your advice from someone and instruction from someone, number one, that's not a drunk, and number two, someone that knows what they're doing. Listen, I can tell you that I'm a brain surgeon. Please don't let me operate, all right? And so, you know, I had nothing but trouble with that car. I remember one time my girlfriend and I, which now is my wife, we were coming back from Cedar Point, and I knew that I had charging problems with that car. We drove it almost all the way back to Fostoria, and by the time we got there, the lights were just about out and just about completely dim, and it started spitting and sputtering, and I'm thinking, oh no, we're not going to make it. So here I am traveling home, and in order to get home, we're driving down the country roads without any lights on so I could save battery. Not smart. Not smart. I'm here to tell you, listen, if we're the results of being blessed, We are instructed by God. Get your instruction from God. Don't listen to men. Get your instruction from God. Verse number 8 also says, in verse number 8 it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go, and I will, it says, I will guide thee with mine eye. God is going to give us guidance for our life. That is the result of being blessed by God. He guides us and directs us. You know what you need to do in your life? Look to God. Amen. Amen. You look to God for guidance in your life. You look to Him for the direction in which you ought to go. God will never lead you down a path of sin. He'll never lead you down a path that He will not be with you and guide you and protect you and keep you. And then it says in verse number 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Mercy. God's mercy will compass us. It is of the Lord's mercies, it says in Lamentations chapter 3, that we are not consumed. Thank God, His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. The Bible talks about His mercies are going to compass him. What exactly is mercy? Mercy is something that we receive from God that we do not deserve. Every day we ought to cry out to God and beg for His mercy. And say, Lord, I am unworthy, but Lord, I need Your mercy today. I need Your help today. Grace is what God offers. Mercy is what we receive. In verse number 10, mercy compasses us about. In Psalm 33, in verse number 18, it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Do you hope in God's mercy today? In Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 3 and 4, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find good favor and understanding in the sight of God and men. The Bible says we're to take mercy and truth and tie them about our neck. Write them upon the table of our heart. Do not allow God's mercy to forsake us. So that means every day we ought to be calling out to God and begging for God's mercy in our life. You know, it's a good thing that we don't get what we deserve. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'd encourage you to start reading the Scripture. Amen? Probably the best place to start for you, if you have that idea, start with the Ten Commandments and see how far you can go before you've said, you know what, I broke these. And so the Bible says that we will be instructed by God, verse 8. We will be guided by God, verse number 8. We will receive God's mercy. Mercy, we are to hope in God's mercy. We are to bind mercy about our neck. In Proverbs chapter number 21 and verse 21, it says, he that followeth righteousness and mercy findeth life. Righteousness and honor. You know, we ought to be looking toward the mercies of God every day in our life. In number 4, I want you to notice, in verse number 11, it says, as we are blessed by God, it says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, that verse is telling me one of the blessings of God is the fact that we can have a happy life. Amen?
Amen.
The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. It says in Proverbs 10, verse 22, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow therewith. I've been saved since 1978. And since I've come to the Lord and asked the Lord to save me, there's been some great disappointments and heartaches in my life since I've been saved. None of them were God's fault. They were all mine. Times when I did my own thing, times when I wouldn't listen to God, times when I sought after the things of the flesh instead of the things of the Spirit. You say, well, boy, that's horrible, Pastor. You know what? You're right there with me. Just admit it. Amen? We're all right there. And there has been times in my life when, listen, there was grief and sorrow. But none of those things were God's fault. They're all mine. But I've learned this. One of the things about being blessed by God, He can make your life happy. Realizing that you are forgiven. Realizing that you're a child of the King. Realizing that He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. Realizing that He does all things after the counsel of His own will. And He does all things well. And I said all that to say this. Let's look at how we can have those blessings. And I want to share with you this morning just four brief things. And I hope you'll write these things down. Look at Psalm 32. Look at the beginning. We looked at the very end. This is the things that God will bless us with. He will bless us with His instruction. He will bless us with His guiding hand. He will bless us with His mercy. And He will bless us with great joy. Now, I think if we just said, okay, that's enough. Let's go home and let's pray. We're out of here today. You know, I think everybody would say, you know what? That's for me. I want that. And you know what? As for me, that's what I want. I want those things. But how do I get there? How do I get to that state as it says, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man. As it says in Psalm 1. Psalm 32. I want you to notice four things. I hope you'll jot these things down. Number one, if I want those blessings in my life, it must start with biblical salvation. It must start with biblical salvation. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. If I want to have those blessings that I've already talked about implied or imputed to my life, what I need to do, number one, I need to experience biblical salvation. I'm not talking about becoming religious. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about doing some type of good deed. All of those things are good and fine in their place. But we need to understand this morning, that all of those things are nothing without Jesus Christ. Amen? We must experience biblical salvation. You can count your beads all day and you can say your Hail Marys until you're blue in the face, but I'm here to tell you, until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no spiritual life in you. And so we need to understand today, the Bible says, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. How does that happen? God loved us so much, even though we were sinners. It says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is the just for the unjust. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and there they nailed Him to that cross, and He shed His blood for your sin and for mine. And if we will put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and he bowed his head, and right before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. It's done. The payment has been paid. The payment for my sin, the payment for your sin, had been eternally paid. John the Baptist said he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The book of Revelation calls him the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I'm here to tell you, according to Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 1 and 2, the first thing we need to do, the state of being blessed begins with salvation. It says in Colossians chapter number 1 verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. In Isaiah chapter number 57 verse 20 and 21, it says this, "But the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked." Listen, if we want peace with God, we must come to Him. And the state of being blessed begins with salvation. Next, look at verse 3 and 4. The psalmist said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer." Selah. Anytime you come across the word Selah, it is actually the psalms are songs. And that word Selah is like what we have a rest as music is written out, like a half rest or a whole rest in music. And basically, the word Selah is saying, pause, reflect about what is being said. And he says here in verse number 4, "All the day, or for day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer," Selah. You say, what in the world does that mean, Pastor? The psalmist is saying this. After being forgiven, if I want God's blessings on my life, the blessings of God comes through the conviction of sin. Don't be angry when God starts convicting you about things. Yeah. Be happy about it. Yeah. Because sin will lead me to shame. It will lead me to grief. And it'll lead me to hurt. So many times we'll go ahead and we'll embrace something that we know that we should not embrace. We'll think about something that we should not think about, only to have that hurt and that grief and that shame come upon us because we did. You see, sin comes about. And we need to confess our sin. And sin leads me to shame and grief and hurt and disappointment. And despair of life. And destruction. Look at the family of Max Jukes. Talking about a path of destruction. And you know what? It didn't have to be that way. But that's what he chose. And the end result was despair and hurt and destruction. So the state of being blessed by God comes through conviction of sin. When God convicts you of something, you read through the Word of God and the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. And you think about, man, I shouldn't have said that to that person. You know, that wasn't really the honest to God's truth. Listen, embrace that conviction. Amen. Amen. Thank God that He's dealing with your heart. Amen. If you read something in the Word of God and the Word of God says, thou shalt or thou shalt not, and you're not where you're supposed to be, thank God that He's convicting you for that. Because as He convicts you, He can move you in the right direction. And as He moves us, it's going to spare us from the shame and the grief and the hurt and the disappointment and despair and the destruction that is heading down the road unless God heads us off at the pass. So the state of being blessed comes through the conviction of sin. Has God been convicting you of sin? And I realize in today's modern church and the seeker-sensitive movement and in the big contemporary churches, you know, we don't talk about sin in those churches because, after all, we're here just to help. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is our divine comforter? He is there to help us. And when He has come, according to John chapter number 16 and verse number 8, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. But one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin. And we would never be saved unless He convicted us that we were a sinner in need of salvation. And so we find that the state of being blessed by God comes through the conviction of sin. Look at verse number 5. Number 3, the state of being blessed comes when we confess our sin. In verse number 5, it says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the," everybody? Lord. I've had people come to me and say, "Preacher, I've really done something wrong. I need to confess this to you." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute. I'm not the one you need to confess to. You need to go to the Lord. I'll pray for you. I'll try to encourage you. I don't even want to hear it." Amen? Just go to the Lord and say, "Lord, this is what I've done, and I agree with you that it's wrong." The Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
It says there is one God, 1 Timothy 2:5, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is our only mediator. The state of being blessed comes about when we confess our sins to God. You know, the great thing about God is this. You don't have to carry, pilgrim, you don't have to carry your burden any longer. If you ever read Pilgrim's Progress, you know what I'm talking about. We as pilgrims and sojourners in this world, we do not have to carry the burden of sin. We can lay it down at the cross. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for thee. So the state of being blessed comes as we confess our sin to God. And finally, the state of being blessed comes when we totally trust Him with our life. Look at verse 7. In verse number 7 it says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." We obtain the blessings of God, verse number 8 through verse number 11, when we fully trust in Him. This week has been a trying week. It has really been a trying week. I was told by our electricians that after we dug up our conduit, we found out that we were supposed to run this wire through it. It's about this big around, 750 KMCM aluminum cable. And come to find out, our conduit was too small. So that meant we had to spend an extra $6,000 on copper because copper is smaller. And I said, "Lord, I don't want to spend an extra $6,000. I don't have an extra $6,000. I know, Lord, You do, but I don't have it, and I really don't want to spend Your money that way." So the electrician called us up and said, "Well, you know, we're going to have to do this." And I says, "Well, whatever we got to do." So, make a long story short, they came and they started working. First day, they just got a little bit of stuff done. And I'm thinking, I come back and I looked at it and I said, "Are you kidding me? I could have done more by myself with one arm tied behind my back than what they did in 8 hours. Are you kidding me? Come on, let's get this job a-rolling." And so the next day I come back, Wednesday. Of course, no power. Oh, Monday they didn't show up. They had another job to do. I'm thinking, oh boy. Wednesday rolls around. And no, we didn't have church Wednesday. Amen. Is there anybody here that showed up? Well, I know that there was one. I hope you didn't, because we announced it for, you know, quite a while. Sometimes people don't listen to announcements, but, you know, praise the Lord. They're confessing their sin right now. So anyway, but you know, we announced it, and I said, "Lord," I said, I don't want to miss Sunday. And I told the elector, he says, "Nope, we'll have power on Thursday." He says, "Well, I got some good news. We got some special conductors, special aluminum that we can use instead of copper." I says, "Praise the Lord. That's wonderful." So that saved us $6,000. And come Wednesday, I'm thinking, "Is this all you got done? You got a lot to do here. Come on, let's get the ball rolling. I want to see power again. I want the air conditioners on. Amen." And then I began praying. I says, "Lord," because I heard some of them talk about, "There ain't no way we're going to get this done. Not by the weekend." And I told the contractor, I said, really looking forward to having electric on for the weekend. He says, Pastor, we'll have it on. So then Toledo Edison doesn't show up to turn the power back on. And I says, Lord, you know, I've done everything I can do. I've prayed. I was an errand boy for him, running back and forth to Sheet Supply and getting parts for him. I was back there pulling wire, helping him, and doing everything I could without getting in their way. They'll probably charge me extra for that. That's the way it usually works. So 8 o'clock Friday night, I'm thinking, Lord, where is Toledo Edison? And finally, I just said, Lord, it's up to you. I can't do anymore. I've done everything I can do. And around the corner comes Toledo Edison truck. Hey, you want some power? I said, praise the Lord. He says, you know, we never got a work order on this. I said, that's not my fault. I said, talk to these guys. You know, I'm glad that God is in control. Amen? Because if He wasn't in control, you'd be in the dark today. Amen? But I'm here just to tell you, the blessings of God come in our life when we fully turn it over to God. Whatever you are struggling with and whatever difficulty of life that you're going through, when you turn it directly over to God and you say, Lord, I am out of this. I can't do this. Lord, this is your baby. I've got to give it over to you. And that's exactly what we must do. And the psalmist said in verse number 7, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. And that word Selah, as I said, means stop and think about it. And God's saying this, you need to stop and think about it. The blessings of God will fall when you learn to trust me all the way. Look down through the course of the pages of the Bible. It was only when the children of Israel were faced against an just insurmountable obstacle that God came and delivered them. When the children of Israel were in bondage, God delivered them after all of the plagues. As they were going through the Red Sea, or going up through the wilderness, and they came up against the Red Sea, and the armies were pursuing them, they couldn't do anything but trust in God, and God delivered them. When all of a sudden they were hungry and thirsty in the wilderness, and they could not provide for themselves, they had to trust God, and God fed them with manna from the heaven, and He gave them drink from a rock. Listen, it's when we're up against the wall, we have no place to turn, and then we trust God, that's when God blesses. Amen. Now, I don't know where you're at this morning, but I do know this. Regardless of where you're at in life, number one, God desires to bless His creation and His people. Number two, God has made an avenue and a way for us to have that blessings. The question is, how are the blessings of God in your life? Are you under the blessings of God? Or are you under the curses of God? Today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, getting saved is the first step. It is the first step having God's blessings in your life. And then let the Holy Spirit convict you of sin. Let Him do a work in your life. Take time and confess that sin to God. Then take time to go ahead and trust Him fully. And when you do those things, God will bless. Let's bow our heads, please. I hope that you're at the state of being blessed. Blessed is. And if that is not you, it can be today. Blessed is the man. I hope and pray that if you've never trusted Christ, I hope and pray that you'll understand that God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on the cross, to pay for your sin and for mine. He desires for you to be saved. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, how many here this morning with an uplifted hand could say, "Preacher, I do realize I'm a sinner and I realize I need to be saved this morning. I want God's blessings in my life, but I realize I need to be saved for those blessings to fall." Could you raise your hand and say, "I need to be saved"? God bless you. Anyone else? Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. In just a moment, we're going to give an old-fashioned invitation, just like they used to do at the Billy Graham Crusades, where he'd invite people to come forward and trust Christ as their Savior. I'd like to have a couple of our folks, altar workers, a couple men and a couple ladies, be willing to deal with people. I want you to come right now. I want you to come to the front. And I'm going to have a word of prayer. If you raised your hand and you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, you can come up to any one of these people and say, "I want to know what it means to be saved. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven." Boy, you need that in your life. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon." Father, I pray, Lord, for these that raise their hand today. And Lord, I pray for the Christians that are here. Help them, Lord, to trust in you. Guide and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.